You are welcome to the podcast of Dominion Chapel International, the special place. We are a church that believes in pure worship, unadulterated word and family. Be enlightened as you listen to this message.
Every grace that God gives a man has the capacity to change any man. But most times, you realize that the grace gets to a location and it's as if it is better in that location than another location. And it's all because of the attitude, it's all because of the demand. And then when you allow that demonic spirit called familiarity set in, it worries everything about you. Are you with me? I tell the truth, if a pastor is very poor at teaching or preaching, and you were a very solid believer, even in that poor teaching, you hear God. Are you with me? Amen. If a man of God decides to use one scripture for 15 years, I tell you, every time that scripture is shared, it's not the same. He can repeat the same message, but it's not the same. He said, once have you spoken. But when it comes to the hearing, I heard it twice. God will be speaking the same thing, but you can hear it twice. Because every saying of God has something that is coming to you, and it depends a lot on you. I pray God will quicken your spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see, evangelism is not only when we speak, but also when our lives are speaking. People can be given the gospel not because you have verbally said it, but because you are living it. Not just living casually, but there is a touch on you that makes you different. And it now begins to let people probe in. Why are you different? Why are you different? In the Old Testament, in the time of Joseph, the Bible clearly states that Potiphar realized that his businesses were doing well because of Joseph. And Joseph had a certain factor that was real, but he didn't know what name to give to it. In fact, Pharaoh made us understand that he didn't know what name to give to it. He called the spirit of the gods. There was something that was not normal about the young man, and definitely in their own context, it must be some supernatural addition. So in their context, it's a God that is doing that, not the God we know. So there is a way that God can live through a man, that the man without uttering one word, his life is speaking and winning souls to the Lord. And so we want to understand the holistic nature of evangelism. So there's a place where we will go out and we'll go and preach the gospel, whether it's on a platform where the masses are gathered like crusade, or we're going to go one-on-one, we're going to go to in your company where you work, you speak to a friend, you speak to a colleague, it's there. But there's one other thing that is so important, where the glory of God is seen upon a man's life. You are so fruitful on every side that they can't really explain what is the reason for that level of fruitfulness, and they begin to ask you questions. Then it becomes an introduction into the Jesus that has made your life so. And I pray for someone that your life will come to that dimension in the name of the Lord Jesus. That as a husband, your husbandry ministry will show forth God's glory. As a wife, it will be the same. As a son, it will be the same. As a daughter, it will be the same. As a single young lady, it will be the same. As a married couple, it will be the same. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's important to know that everybody in life desires direction. Everybody in life wants direction. Everybody. And that is why every prophetic meeting is flooded. But teaching meetings are not flooded. Because for some reasons, my life is going some way I don't understand. I need direction. So the prophet now comes and tells that the Lord opened my eyes and I saw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Why do people desire direction? Some way, somehow, in some part of you, you feel so strongly, you can't explain that the way you are right now is not all there is to you. You can tell that no, there's something more. There's this sense that no, there's something greater than what I'm experiencing now. And how do I move from here and go there? So it means that in everybody, there is a sense of a there that must go there. There's a sense of a here that I'm not comfortable with, and there is a there I must go. So from the here to the there, how do I go? The need for direction comes in. Now, the there that you are sensing that is calling for direction is a proof that you were made for a purpose. It's a proof that you were made for a reason, and that your satisfaction and contentment is in when you are able to fulfill that reason. In other words, you were made for a purpose. Glory to God. Remember our deal at the beginning of Hallelujah. So there is a purpose. When purpose now comes to mind, if you hear the phrase made for a purpose, it means you are a product of a manufacturer. Are you with me? And then why are we so desperate for direction? Because life is time bound. Life is time bound. This bios is time bound. There is a birth and there is a death. By reason of that, one cannot accept it that my life will not be a fulfillment. And every day we celebrate birthday, we are getting close to the death day. I look at myself in the mirror today and I say, boy, the only unique thing about you is I don't have gray hair. But boy, you're not the same guy just a few years ago. And according to scriptures, if you don't have revelation, you have up to 70 years. If you have revelation, you can go beyond it. I saw a video of a couple who have been married for 76 years. The man is 100 and something years, and the wife is 92 or so, and they were dancing, praising God. And they asked them, what's the secret? They say, forgive. Let your heart be clean. Love God. Every old person I've met, that's what they keep saying. So why young man, still young man? You are still... The people that have lived a century, I tell you that the key is let this heart be clean. Forgive people. Live holy. Love God. That's what they say. Oh, all of them. Even the monks. So you see the height of stupidity. For somebody to have attained a certain realm that you are dreaming to attain, and the person from that place advise you that to get here, let this one go. Is I won't let it go. That is the dilemma of life. When I think about it, I understand. Every old person I've read about, they always keep saying one thing, forgive. And that means that unforgiveness and bitterness, they all say the same thing. 110 years or so, and the wife is 90, and they are dancing their birthday. And the wife is, and they are dancing. At your age, you can't even dance. Because the things that are seated in your heart is too weighty that you are not light enough for even melody to move you. So life is time bound. And whatever time that you have must be very fruitful. It must be so fruitful that as I stand here, I never met Paul the Apostle. I don't know how he looks like. Whatever idea I have about Paul the Apostle is what I've been told by theologians, which is even not certain. Some say he's short. Some say he doesn't look good. Some say he doesn't talk well. Some say he talks well. We don't know. But there's no how. A Sunday will pass. A day will pass that someone will talk about Apostle Paul. I never met Joseph. I don't know how he looks like. Whether he had kaji, I don't know. But for some reasons, you can't talk about purpose, dreams, leadership without him. Never met Jesus physically. But I can't deny the fact that he's the reason I'm come. The reason I'm looking good. The reason I have a good family. That is what is called fulfillment. That you are so fulfilled that even when you have departed, you are still full. You are so filled between your birth and death. They can't talk of life without mentioning you. You have filled the space by God. Life is more than having a car and having a house. It's more than marrying. It's a dimension of impact where you allow eternity, have the opportunity to fill you up that time can enjoy something of God that it cannot. The Lord sought for a man, maybe that woman. So everybody is seeking direction. To an extent, it means we are people of purpose. Now, no one can best direct you to the there from your here than the one that made you. The question now is, how then do I enjoy of his direction? How do I access his direction? And there are several ways, but there is one that I've come to observe over the periods. And I'm not sharing it just as something I've read about, but personally, in my personal life as a believer, I think that is how I believe in my life. And it's consistent with God's word and God's will. And it is okay if I can share that with you. Is that fine? The Bible says in Proverbs 19 verse 21, one of the favorite scriptures of one of my mentors who's going to be with the Lord, Dr. Miles Morrow. I want to read that scripture. Proverbs 19 verse 21. I hope you're still following me. Don't forget the smile. It's very, very, it helps the anointing. Now he says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, give me NIV, sir. Give me NIV. I like it. Now, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Why are they plans? Plans becomes important when there is a certain idea of a goal or a destination. So plans are those activities that one puts together that orders the person's choices, decisions, choices. That is steps. When you say steps, steps are actually, you know, decisions, choices. When you choose, you move. If you don't choose, don't move. So the Bible says the steps of the righteous man are ordered. Apart from deciding to accept it literally, that God will hold your legs so that where you don't have to go, you don't go. Apart from that one, your decisions, your choices, he will help you such that whatever you are deciding, whatever you are choosing is not contradicting God's program for your life. So there are plans because there is a certain desired destination. Every company has a plan. Why? Because they have a vision. They have a mission. They have an objective. In other words, they have an idea of where they want to be. They want to be there. In simple terms, if right now, one of our sisters here, by God's grace, a man approaches and then poses that beautiful question. Amen. And then she, being led by the Lord, now says, yes, I will. Amen. Then plans begin. Why do plans begin? As she says yes, all these years, she has had this dream of a kind of wedding she wants. She can see the end from where she is. And then there's been a yes. Oh, then let's start. Because for us to materialize what we see, for everyone to appreciate what we have been appreciating in our head, we need to map out, have a map, a Google map, a map that will take us from here gradually, that will arrive here. So plans are necessary because you can see an end. You hear? So every human being, whether the person can see where God is taking them to or not, the thing is this, wherever you are, you know this is not where I'm meant to be. I'm meant to be somewhere. So sometimes it's either you have heard what God wants to show you or you now decide to show yourself something. That's why you don't have to be a believer to have a vision. Every human being can have a vision, must have a vision. But the challenge is that vision can either be ambition or what God has designed. Ambition is what I want to achieve and satisfy myself so I can brag about it. Hello. So anybody can capture a vision. As soon as you capture a vision, then there's a need for planning. What does planning do to you? Planning helps you to now bring the tomorrow to today and throw yourself into the reality of it. If you don't understand, you can just do glory. And I know that you don't understand. Hallelujah. So there are many plans in a man's heart, but it is God's own that will prevail. It doesn't mean that if you have a plan, you will succeed. But there is a certain prevalence and dominance that God has ordained for you. That one can only be achieved when it is in God's program. Are you following me? So many are the plans in a person's heart. It is a CA. In fact, as I'm talking now, you've been going and coming, sir. I'm serious. As I'm talking right now, I see, you know, look at me like this. But I can't stop the activities of your brain. You're going and coming. Some of you have gone. They realize that I have to come back. They came back. Then there's some of you that are not even looking. This is what I'm saying, no. It's my suit. Some too, they are looking at this and I didn't know she's a clever card. Everybody. So you ask me who baby, who baby. So you try a picture beside very, very. He will put you on the shoe that's shiny. Shoe that's shiny. Shiny. Hallelujah. But your mind keeps going and coming, but grace will help all of us. So there are many plans. You meet a young man, and he's always looking serious. Bro, why? Shall I get too many things in my mind that they're playing? I think about too many things. Sometimes you're so full of some plans that you can't even appreciate the beauty around you. It's risky that God gives you a beautiful wife. People are telling you your wife is beautiful, but you can't see it because your mind is full of things. No, there are things you are looking at. I mean, there are things. I want to leave a legacy for my children. I want to leave a legacy for my wife. What the legacy is? And then the very beautiful things that God has placed around you, that you should appreciate and calm you down to see the possibilities ahead of you. You can't see it. Sometimes it's not the way you want to map it out that will work. Sometimes the greatest ideas that will help you will come from the very unlikely sources. But when you have filled yourself with too many plans, you'll be seeking from afar that which has already been given to you. Am I preaching? Let me go on. Now, if I don't finish and my time is up, I'll stop. Thursday, I'll continue. Now, look at the TPT. TPT says that a person may have many ideas concerning God's plan for their life, but only the designs of God's purpose will succeed in the end. Did you see that? Are you still here with me? Now let me add one more scripture. Amen and amen. Okay. Let's read Proverbs 20 verse 27. And we're going to marry some few things together and then we'll be done. Hallelujah. You will walk in God's plan for you. You will live a very content life. To be content doesn't mean that you have everything in the container. It doesn't mean you have everything. Just have that one thing that brings you joy. That one thing. Amen. There are many people, don't envy them. Please don't envy. Literally, when I guess to, I'm like, oh wow. Send me there. Person is in a Range Rover. The AC is blowing. You can see the wife, very fair woman, fair children. You can see them put on Instagram. They just left Dubai after shopping. They are going to Singapore. From Singapore, they're going to the US. If the Lord should give opportunity to just visit them, you enter the house, you realize that it's not going well. I told a story of a lady that got married to this rich man. Everybody was glad for her. Glad. But man, Charlie, God has done it. Charlie, be careful the thing that you say God has done. God has done it. God has done it. After a while, anytime the mother goes to visit, the lady is not looking. She's not growing fat. They have money. The guy has money. He has bought a car. He can travel anywhere he wants to go. But the lady is still not looking too good. As time went on, prophetically it was probed in, realizing that the man's wealth is in the shrinking of the wife. I don't know if it's the same story, but there was another story. It was the same. The man always wear a hat. I say, a brand. Apparently, the top of his head is rotting him. That is the price for the money he's working in. Yes, so every morning, the woman is supposed to lick it. You're saying Jesus. So every morning, that's the devotion. My dear brothers and sisters, this life is full of so many mysteries. I beg you, take Jesus serious. I beg you. Whatever you are told in church, do it. We are fasting fast. We are praying, pray. We have all night camp. You don't know which of these factors will help you. It is possible you bring somebody and we'll all say, this is a good man. We'll all say the same thing. But maybe it is you that must get the information. But here you are. You are not sharpened in the spirit. And you end up there. The point is this. I'm enjoying my wife, my children. The best I can do is to pray for you. But now what can he do for you? Are you following the will of God? I wish that a lot of you can understand my passion for you. My passion for you is such that you can live. I'm still knowing Jesus, but I know him. I'm still knowing him more, but I know him. And I can tell you the truth. I didn't make a mistake knowing Jesus. I can offer you money if the Lord allows me, but that money, you finish it. But if as a pastor, I can show you how to live like Jesus, you are blessed forever. Because you won't come for marriage counseling. But you will need it. You will need it because we have given you that one gift that makes everything work. Can you imagine such a life? That every morning you have to lick the forehead, the pem-pem of your husband. The first time the man opened his eyes, she licked. Say, what's this? That is where I married you from. Nonsense. I don't do this. And she dared not utter a word to anybody about it. Not everybody that walks into church and is shouting, Rabadaka Yaga, must be careful. Kakaiwo. Hello. Proverbs 20:20. Now I say, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Did you hear that? Now, the TBT says, the spirit of God breathed into man is like a living lamp, a shining light, searching into the innermost chamber of our being. That is where conscience is staying. Yeah, that is where that guy is staying. That guy is so important. Conscience, well, you're powerful. You die. That is God's law placed inside your spirit, man. Now, you don't have to be taught to know. You just know. And the most miserable thing that can happen to anybody is for you to shut your conscience. Shut the conscience. That's when you do things and there's no remorse in you. Consistently say, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. It's like committing a particular sin the first time that you do it. Oh God, pass me not. Second time. Oh, God, I'm sorry. It will happen again. Third time. Oh, God. By fourth time. Oh, by seventh time. Charlie, don't feel anything. There's a dimension of grace at work in my grace does not condemn. There's therefore no condemnation. The point you come to where your conscience now has been so sharp that now scriptures is now used to buttress a killed conscience. God have mercy. It's in your spirit, man. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. And when I'm done reading the scriptures, I'll just start saying things. But my time's up, I'll stop there. My God, if God give me a opportunity to teach on Thursday, I'll continue from there. So if you don't, if you're not here on Thursday, you'll get it. Amen. All right. So 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, especially the verse number 11. Let's go. Give me let's do New King James. Good. But God has revealed them to us through his spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So Proverbs 20 and verse what? 27 tells us that our spirit is God's lamp. It searches. So we have a spirit that searches our deep thoughts. And then God also has his spirit that searches him. Hello? So you see the common thing there? So that we have our spirit that searches the inner parts of us. That's equation one. Equation two, there is the spirit of God that searches the inner parts of God. Are you following, people of God? We are coming somewhere. The whole world coming right now is that we need direction. We want to know how to access direction from our maker. And there are several ways, but I'm showing you another way. A more sure way. Hallelujah. So don't forget it. Don't forget it. That our spirit is the lamp of God that searches our inward parts. So the spirit has a function of searching the inward parts. And then the Holy Spirit too is God's spirit searching the inward parts of God. So spirit search. Is that okay? Not Google. Spirit search. Amen. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:17. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 6:17. I hope you're getting something. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Don't forget Proverbs 20:27, our spirit searches. 1 Corinthians 2:10, his spirit searches the deep parts of him. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. It's one word. Hallelujah. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:17, quickly. It says that now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Glory to God. So when you see the Holy Spirit, liberty has appeared. Glory to God. So now, please, our dear sisters, stop looking at now. Some of you are too arrogant to be a wife. You're looking at now. That's just chipping in just 1 minute. You're looking at now too much. You see someone say, this person, nobody. You hear somebody. Perfume now is like, the shoe you are wearing, how much is it? You buy them at night at a year. And you are there saying that somebody is not your class. Which class? Look beyond that. Mommy said, look beyond and see through. No, that's the truth. It's not your class. We'll meet you at there. Say, hey, brother Paul. He says, of course, I have now turned him out. May God show somebody in the name of Jesus. Okay, amen. Hallelujah. God has just blessed you wisdom. You know how to do combination. What did I say? On that name, not about any combination. You're able to do combination. And then somebody can say, it's not my class. What class? Yeah, trotter now. That's by the way. Are you with me? So there is our spirit that search in what parts? There's the spirit of God that search in what parts of God? Amen. And the Bible says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Whoa, Shabbat. Now, this is the thing. The Holy Spirit, he is the custodian of the counsel of God. He's the library of God's purposes and plans. Remember, we read earlier, it says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the counsel of God that will prevail. So if a man wants to prevail, the plan and the design must be that of God. So how will a man get to know God's design? So now we come to understand that for us to have network with God and be able to access the data bank of God, God had to put a SIM chip in us. It's our spirit. so we can have connectivity to his library, which is the Holy Spirit. Now we're wondering, how shall we be connected? Say, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when you became born again, you were registered properly, like the Ghana card used to have registered. We were registered. So when you became born again, you were now registered in God's program, such that there is no limitation in access to the Holy Ghost to access he that holds God's counsel concerning your life. Are you with me? What that means is this. There's no password to the Holy Ghost since you became born again. You have access to the information bank. You understand? Oh, are you getting the point here? Are you getting the point here? You have what? Access. You are born again. Unrestricted, sir. You have access. So, I want you to debunk that idea that for me to access God's plan for my life, I need a 70-day fast. Now, I will tell you why you have to fast. But understand that fasting is not a guarantee. The guarantee is that you are born again. What fasting did Cain do to hear God? You know Cain? No, no. The guy just finished killing the brother. No, just finished committing murder.
And he was in it somewhere.
So God now comes. Charlie, where's your brother? I'm at my brother's keeper. He finished murder and God is talking to him. Do you understand? He didn't finish prayer meeting, no. Murder. And then God is talking to him. Why is it so hard to hear God's voice? Cain killed and heard God. I'm not saying go and kill so you hear God. Oh. What I'm saying is that for him to have killed, it means he shouldn't be in a place where God should talk to him. He's out of reach. Then it means that the devil has succeeded in twisting our understanding. So much so that the simple things that are our inheritance, it's like we have to fight hard to get it. So when somebody's talking, say, God told me, God is there. I'm on Kasa, sir. On Kasa, rough, rough, sir. I'm on Tessa. God doesn't talk rough, rough like that. God, he speaks once in 2 years. And then you who seem not to hear God, you feel like you are not spiritual. I don't need to fast to hear my father's voice. All I have to do is just go to him. Daddy, what are you saying? Now, even if I've offended my father, I can still go. Go, Daddy, I'm sorry for what I did. Yeah, son. I won't go anywhere and say that. Daddy, I'm sorry. Then Daddy now has to go through the Holy Spirit. Mommy, tell him, I won't talk. The fact that I'm born by him makes me a son. As a son, without applying, I have free access to information from him. But this is the point. The depth of information my father would tell me depends on the depth of our friendship. The access is undenied. Hello. Are you with me? One of my friends, a very wonderful man of God, very powerful, he fasts a lot. Every year he does not less than 40 days water fast twice in a year. Very anointed young man. And one day he fell ill because of the stress he was put on his body. He said, man of God, I can't even pray more than 5 minutes again. When I start praying, my whole body is shaking. I'm weak. And he was sick for a while. And in that time, in his down moment, that's when somebody called, the mother is dying. You should pray. He said, ah. Because in his mind, it is when he's in fasting and prayer that healing power works. And the person believes in the anointing. He said, on the phone, I said, Lord, mercy. Lord, mercy. He said, man of God, it's one of the shortest prayers I've prayed in my life.
Lady calls after 5 minutes. My mother is awake. She's full and well. Say, man of God, I now got to know that it's not the prayer. I want you to understand this thing. The devil has done a good work, oh. The devil. You see, he fights so that you don't get born again. But he can't stop you. When you become born again, for you to enjoy the life in the born again, he won't fight you by your fear for demons. That one is too obvious. Your knowledge and ignorance. And the wrong doctrine. During the youth all night, I mentioned something that even your body shape can change because of prayer. It's almost like, hey. No, some of them say that, hey, it sounded strange to them. I mean, like, how can you say that? You see the mindset? If I were to come and tell you right now that I didn't have fuel in my car and I laid hands on the car to drive from here to Bolgatanga with no fuel, out of respect, you go like, wow, we bless God. But when we close the service, Melody, Brana, Melody, I know you are also a sister-in-law. Please, I beg you, tell him we like him the way he is. Should he impress us? And then the Melody's like, why? What is it? What did he come and tell us then? Obien him say care be here for. But they no. So only has the lay has to come. But if I came to tell you that yesterday I ate for food, that is also too regular for it to be wow you. But if I came and said I want to eat for food, but my hands are paining me and I look at for food like this. And I say, enter my mouth. And if a fool just jump like that, you see, I say, it's like the doctrine that you've received over the times that when you make an error or you sin, run away from church. That's when you don't pray. But the point is this, who made you realize you had sinned? The Holy Spirit, it means he had not left you. So why he ran away? Did you get my point here? On Thursday, I'll finish the message. I wish you all come. I want to walk in the fullness of God's plan for me. I should wake up every morning and just know what God wants done. There are some of you young ladies, you're so beautiful, but you don't believe it. Because consistently, somebody you trusted and esteemed, whose words were law to you, kept telling you are very ugly. Your nose is not correct. Where your eyes, you don't even have eyebrow. Your eyebrow is eye blue. Look at your face. No man will marry such a being like you. And they keep saying it over and over and over and over again. And then somebody meets you and say, wow, you have very beautiful eyes. Like, please. I have known you since I came to this church. You are one person I greatly respect. One thing my heart can't take is mockery. Person go like, what have I said wrong? So, hallelujah. The Lord destroys strongholds of negative ideologies from our hearts and our minds. Yeah. I was talking to a dear son of mine, very dear to my heart. And he said, sir, I don't even believe I'm a good husband. I don't think I'm a good father. I said, why are you saying that? Because the person I expect to appreciate me doesn't appreciate me, so I feel I'm not. And it's like, I know, not I feel I know it, I'm not. Words are so, see, people of God, be careful how you speak in church, especially as pastors. There are things we do and say all the years of mentoring people and discipling them, we kill them in 1 minute. Just 1 minute. You can utter a word. Maybe we're even playing. Any utterance that has come from anybody that has become a stronghold in you that is stopping you from full expression, I pray for you, my dear brother, my dear sister, by the power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every such stronghold is broken in the name of Jesus. There's the last thing I'll speak over, and then Mama will come and lead us to communion, and then we're out of here. It's sometimes not only just the things you've heard, but the things you've been through. There's a way you go through things that you have left them, but it has not left you. In other words, you have left that place, that space, that time, but it's so hard for you to let it go. Even when you have said you've let it go, your actions by any observant person shows that no. If you've been in a situation of your life where nobody ever did good for you, nobody ever was there to help you, there was no helper anywhere, you had to struggle through life yourself, you have this survivor mentality. That's how you become a pastor. That's how you become an elder. You, everything about you, survivor. You're always angry, always shouting. Because that is how you have to strive through life. But there's a better version of you. There's a better version of you. There's a better best version of you. There's a better best version of you. Let that past be past. Let it be a constant prayer until you realize that there's a total change. Tell the Holy Ghost, set me free from that past. Set me free from that stronghold. Set me free from that. Pray that prayer in just a minute.
God bless you for listening to this message. You can also enjoy our messages on Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Visit us at Dominion Chapel International, the special place near the XGI building, Shashi, Accra. Do remember to subscribe to this podcast to receive more life-impacting teachings by our seasoned ministers of the gospel every single week. You can also follow DCI, the special place, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always remember that God loves you.